Chapter 85. Waiting was part of life for a blackguard. It was service as much as throwing yourself in front of a musket or magic. But like most of the blackguards, Caris hated waiting. She'd come upstairs and heard nothing, then had been instructed to wait for the White, who'd been gone for hours. Another blackguard eventually came and told the White's room guard that there had been an emergency session of the Spectrum called. Now, after dawn, the White was finally being wheeled down the long hallway from the lift to her own room. Caris's impatience was quickly replaced by concern for the old woman. She shouldn't be made to stay up all night. The strain of it was evident on her face. The White smiled at Caris as she was wheeled into her own room, but it was a perfunctory smile. The White had more blackguards today than usual, two of the new inductees, and Jin Holder, a woman who'd entered the same year as Caris had, though she was a few years younger than Caris. Caris and Jin helped the White relieve herself, having to support almost all of her weight. Caris had to help her clean herself.
"My apologies, child. The body fails," the White murmured, embarrassed.
The two young blackguards, Gil and Gavin Grayling, studiously avoided looking back. The time would come when the young men would have to help with this. There simply weren't enough archers in the blackguard to have two women on every shift. But right now, they were no doubt simply having to adjust to the fact that the White needed to relieve herself at all. Caris remembered being young and in awe. Felt like a long time ago now.
"You can go now," Caris told the young men. "I'll meet you back in the barracks to talk. Jin and I will—"
"No, I want them to stay,"
the White said wearily.
"Jin, you can go."
Jin left, and Caris helped the White into her bedclothes. Caris helped the White totter toward bed and then helped her sit up. It was technically not the blackguard's duty, but the White room slave was old and frail herself. The White didn't want to buy another slave when she said she had so little time left anyway, and didn't want to get rid of the one she had, little though the old woman did for her now. The White sighed deeply.
"Now," she said, "work."
"You look exhausted, mistress," Caris said, "and I need to interview these men. They were on duty earlier."
"I know where they were. Why do you think I took them with me?" the White asked.
Caris furrowed her brow.
"The Spectrum," the White said, "has declared war. Tonight we voted on the composition of forces."
"Pardon me?" Caris said.
"Blood Forest and Hrothgar had already mobilized their armies, and they're almost here. They've known this was coming as soon as Atash was invaded, but no one else will be able to get their armies into the fray before Rhu's fate is decided, I'm afraid. Andros Gyle will be in charge of directing the Chromeria's contribution and managing the Blood Forest and Hrothgari generals."
"So there's to be no Promarchos?" Caris asked.
"And how is Lord Gyle going to—"
"It is as it is," the White said. "It was cleverly done when Gavin couldn't be reached, so he and his new satrapy had no vote. The proposals were managed with Andros's typical skill. He knows his parliamentary manoeuvring. It was war on his terms or let Rhu fall. He wanted to be named Pro Marcos, and we had to call it a victory to stop him from that. I suspect he didn't expect to get it, but there you have it. Mobilization will begin this morning."
Caris opened her mouth, but had nothing to say.
"Now," the White said, turning to the Grayling brothers, "tell me what happened in the Prism's chambers last night."
Gil, the elder brother, cleared his throat and glanced at Caris.
"Don't spare her," the White ordered. "She might as well know the truth."
"Yes, High Lady. Gavin and I were selected for guard duty last night. We've been short-staffed, and even though we knew, there were more experienced blackguards down the hall guarding your room and down at the lifts, so it was allowed. The Prism arrived an hour before midnight. He greeted us and made some jokes with us."
"Typical," Caris said under her breath. "Charm the new blood." Gavin Grayling looked away.
"I don't know about that. Anyway, he said something about, having been on a long trip with a woman he wanted and couldn't have."
He licked his lips and studiously didn't look at Caris,
"and he asked after his room slave. Gil and I talked about it this morning and we couldn't remember exactly what he said." "You interpreted that to mean what?" the White asked.
Gavin cleared his throat again and shifted from foot to foot.
"That he, wouldn't be averse to some, companionship. So when the girl Anna showed up, we figured he'd sent for her.
She certainly acted like he had. The blackguards at the lift said they got a story from her that you'd sent for her mistress.
So she lied. It's not the first time she's tried, the white said. Go on.
We let her in.
We thought maybe it was a common...
Not interested in your thoughts on the point, the white said. What happened?
Gavin Grayling shifted again, glancing at Caris.
She hadn't been in there 5 minutes when Watch Captain Whiteoak came up. She said she had important business. We tried to dissuade her, but she seemed in a hurry, like she didn't want to be seen in the hall.
Tell the whole truth, you bastards, Caris said.
Wooden, but even. She was wearing cosmetics and perfume. Her hair was done, I don't know, all beautiful. Like a woman coming for
Gavin shot a look at his brother.
Assignation, Gil said.
Gavin Grayling shifted from foot to foot.
Back to when you let her in, the white said.
When we opened the door, it was clear that the prism had been woken enthusiastically by Anna, and that the watch captain was surprised by it. Watch Captain Whiteoak ran out, and the High Lux Lord Prism called after her. He seemed shocked. He ran after the watch captain and went down the lift to follow her before we could join him. We didn't know what to do, so we went back to our station, and he returned a few minutes later.
Orholam. Caris had a sick feeling in her stomach.
He was absolutely furious with the girl, Anna. We saw her when he went back in, and it was like she thought that they'd pick up where they left off. But he was having none of it. He shouted at her.
What did he say? The white asked.
Gavin Grayling didn't look at Caris.
He said that Anna had cost him the woman he loved, that he thought she was Caris, the watch captain, and he wouldn't have touched Anna if he'd known who she was, that she disgusted him. The girl said some, vile things about Watch Captain Whiteoak, and the prism threw her out onto his balcony.
Oh, Orholam have mercy. Gavin had murdered that stupid girl because she'd insulted Caris. Caris felt like weeping, for Anna, for herself, for Gavin, for the whole stupid world and shipwrecked love.
We saw, Gavin swallowed and looked over at Gil, who nodded at him to go on. He was shouting and furious, and the girl was so frightened she jumped off the balcony.
It sent a bolt through Caris.
She jumped? She asked.
Yes, watch captain, the young man said. He looked mortified immediately. I don't think I'll ever forget the look on his face. He said something like, Orholam have mercy, I've killed her. And then he told us to go report it and that he would be there when we got back. He looked so stunned that we believed him, mistress. We didn't know what to do. One of us should have stayed with him. I'm sorry.
Wait, he didn't kill her? Caris asked.
No, sir, she jumped, Gil said.
And you are both completely certain of this? The white asked.
Yes, High Lady, they said at the same time.
Certain enough to tell this tale to the Spectrum itself?
Gavin paled, but Gil looked confused. If he was a liar, he was the better one.
Yes, mistress. Why would we lie?
The white said, You would not be the first blackguards to believe that their duty to protect the prism extended beyond the duty to protect his life.
Gil blinked.
I understand, mistress. But we barely know Lord Gile. We just started. And anyone who searches your belongings will not find any large gifts among them.
His face hardened.
We're new to the job, mistress, not to honour.
Very well, the white said. You're dismissed. Go get some sleep. You'll likely be wakened rudely for more questions from others, but you deserve what rest you can find.
She dismissed them, and they left, grateful. Caris turned to the white.
You seemed like you expected that.
Of course I did. I already interviewed them earlier. I wanted to see if they'd changed their story. And I wanted you to hear that the man you love was somewhat innocent of both crimes.
Caris blinked.
The man I love? Both crimes?
What? What? He's rebuffed that girl at least twice before, and apparently he had good reason to believe you were coming to his bed last night, seeing as you did.
Caris squirmed, but had nothing to say.
You know that blackguards are forbidden to make love with their charges, don't you, Caris?
Yes, mistress.
She swallowed. She'd been stupider last night than she could believe. She was normally so rational.
Have you spoken with Commander Ironfist about this matter?
The white asked.
Help Miss Coote down here, will you?"
Carys helped the White shift from sitting up in bed to lying down.
No, mistress. I'm afraid I acted impulsively last night. And before that I never thought it would be a, temptation.
She had a sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach. The White lay back.
"Well, dear, if you had, Iron Fist would have told you that he and I had a discussion about this very matter long ago, and then another much more recently."
"You did?" Carys asked.
"Don't interrupt, dear. We did, and we agreed that it's a good rule. Keeps lines clearer, keeps waters from being muddied."
"Yes, mistress," Carys said.
She straightened her shoulders, took a breath. Her head was still a whirl, but this was the life she'd chosen. She was a blackguard through and through. It wasn't easy, but that was why she'd chosen it. Because she'd known it was hard. Rules existed for a reason. The White said,
"And we also agreed that sometimes the exception proves the rule, and that you are that exception. If you wish to pursue a relationship with that impossible man, you may."
A sound that may have had some faint resemblance to a squeal jumped out of Carys's mouth. She froze, her lips pursed. The White opened her eyes and grinned.
"May Orhulam have pity on us for whom we love, child. Now go find that incorrigible man and keep him alive. I fear we're going to have great need of him in the coming days."
Carys hugged the old woman tight and ran from the room, pausing only to send the other blackguards in.